That was Peter. He got a cold.
I thought I'd be brave.
Yeah?
And came up here with just the regular. But with the wind blowing through,
yeah,
I went back. I mean, I would have been early otherwise. But
yeah. No, no, no. I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, I forgot my... Yeah. So, how is the Buddha? That's what's happening. Yeah. I mean, Buddha, you know, if you can't fall asleep, you know, I mean, just use Buddha, you know, within 5 minutes you'll fall asleep. Yes, very soothing. Yeah. Once the mind becomes calm, and that's, you know, that's one of the tricks. Once the mind becomes calm, it normally goes to sleep. And that's what we have to prevent. Mm-hmm. That's why we do walking meditation. It's difficult to fall asleep when doing walking meditation. So, I mean, do some more. I mean, it's a useful time here. And you have the place. I mean, in Singapore, where do you want to walk? Here you have all these animals. I mean, it's a wildlife. Yeah? You probably don't see it, you know, in the city. And it's calming, soothing. Animals are not so bothersome as human beings. They don't bother us. Well, so today, did you do some practice today, this morning? Huh?
Little.
At least she's honest. Do a little bit more. And how is Alice doing?
I'm trying to stay on the
Buddha. Huh?
I'm trying to stay on the Buddha, but this time I didn't do my walking because I hurt my foot. Yeah. The nurse is dropping off.
Hmm. Yeah, and like I said last time, you can't give up. Yeah. You don't have anything else. I mean, be it sickness or being anything else, you know, I mean, the best thing is, you know, to practice. Even your fear, you know, of dying under the water. You can fear, you know, you can make your life miserable until the day it comes. Or you can be happy until the day it comes. That's up to you.
I tried to focus. I find my eye very painful.
Huh?
I tried to focus.
Yeah.
My eye very painful.
Yeah.
But do everything, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's normal. But don't worry about anything else. I mean, in the practice, certain things can, all sorts of things can happen. I mean, we feel, you know, it's itching there, or, you know, concentrating too much. I mean, just relax and concentrate only on your object, and everything else will disappear. But, of course, if your concentration is good, you know, wherever you go, this seems to be prominent. And the moment we put our attention back to the Buddha, that becomes less prominent. I mean, it's just like, you know, reading a book, or you're being in your apartment. Huh? Wherever you put your eyes on, that seems to be prominent. And everything else, you know, seems to be not there. So, I mean, you just turn your eyes from something that is disgusting onto something that is beautiful. And that's the same thing, you know, we do in practice. We turn our eye back onto the Buddha. If something else happens, you don't worry. You will encounter a lot of things that you weren't even aware of that they are there. Just because we haven't looked in our cellar or in the attic, you know, we don't remember what is there. All our things that we have put in the attic, all our things that we have put in the past, our emotions, our feelings, we have put aside. We didn't want to deal with them. They're all... They all are there. So the moment we get quiet, then they come up. And that's what a lot of people are afraid of. But we shouldn't be afraid of. I mean, just like, you know, you have a you put your clothes, your dirty clothes, in front of the laundry machine, and you're too lazy to wash. So it piles up, piles up, piles up. What? Sooner or later you have to do it. So do it now. Because the longer we wait, the more it piles up. And so it is with our heart. The longer we wait to clean up the heart, the more time it takes and the more frustrating it becomes. Now you have the time. Okay, go ahead. It's not going away by its own. We always hope, you know, things are bad, memories are going away by its own. They don't go. They need to be dealt with, you know, and released. And that's what we do, you know. We concentrate on the Buddha. These emotions come up, we accept them and let them go. We don't worry about what it means or what it is. You know? That's not part of the practice. I mean, an emotion comes up just like, you know, you turn on the TV and, I mean, you might not like the show that is on, but it's there. So, what can you do? Just watch it until it switches. And that's the same with the emotions or the feelings or the memories or the moods, you know, in our heart. They are there. Okay, just accept them and just let them go. And just focus back on the Buddha. Become clean. Become calm first, you know, and then let these things happen. Don't worry too much. And you will see a lot. I mean, you have two choices. The choice of everybody, you know, trying to avoid it and then have to deal later with it. Sooner or later, I mean, you still see, you know, your pile of unwashed clothes, you know, and then you say, okay, sooner or later I have to do it. Huh? Now, okay, now it's the time. Now it's the time, you know, to practice. Now it's the time to clean up our heart. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than a clean heart. It's beautiful. I mean, that's where you have the light, you know. I mean, you don't need external light. I mean, the citta just is bright and shines. And is happy within itself. That's what we want, you know. Don't we want happiness? Everybody of us wants happiness. But we seek it in the worldly terms. We seek it by buying this or buying that or doing this or doing that. But happiness doesn't come this way, because happiness arises in the heart. The moment we go and look in our heart, you know, that's where happiness is. But that's also where sadness is. That's also where anger is or greed is. But happiness and calmness is also there. Everything arises within the heart first, before it, you know, manifests outside. So whatever comes, you know, don't worry about it. You cannot change it anyway. I mean, you are old enough to realize that. You cannot change your colleagues, you cannot change the situation, you cannot change this or that, you know. Just be happy with it, you know. I mean, being miserable about that, you know, doesn't help you, it just makes you feel bad. But the moment we change our heart, everything else around us changes as well. People become more friendlier towards us. Just because we are. We are not aggressive anymore. So, I mean, people get friendlier. Just so easy, you know, but yet it's so difficult to do. Because we don't like. That is the most thing, you know, we always hear. We don't like. It's too difficult. Just like I said yesterday, I mean, if it was too difficult to walk because we always hit our head, you know, and bleed and, you know, pain and so on, I mean, we wouldn't be able to walk. We wanted to do that. And that is something, you know, it's something that we have to train. We have to train the citta, just like walking or riding a bicycle or, you know, even studying or reading, right? Or writing, you know. I mean, we have to try. How many times do we have to try to write a character, you know? In the beginning, we thought we'd write, you know, the character, you know, well, you know. And our father, mother, what is that? They can't read it. So we get frustrated. So we try it again so that they can read it. That's why we want it. We want them to understand. So, and it's the same thing. We want, you know, we want the citta, you know, to get calm, to be one-pointed. It's the same kind of trying, trying, and trying again. And then the citta becomes calm. Once the citta becomes calm, it will be happy and contented. And then we can start, you know, the things that come up, you know, we can start to deal with them. In the beginning, we acknowledge them and, you know, we return to the Buddha. But when we have the feeling, oh, this thing is coming, you know, so often, just let's have a look at it, you know, investigate it. Where is it coming from? And then just look, what happened before that? I mean, a thought arises. What happened before that thought arises? Oh, there was a mood, or there was a feeling, or there was a memory. Before that memory, what came there? You know, I mean, we trace it back. You're police people, and so you know how to trace back things, you know, to the origin, you know. We want to find the one who causes all this to come. So that's why we have to trace back until we see it. Ah, that's the point. Very simple to explain. Very difficult to catch because we need a lot of sati, and that's why we have to develop the sati. This awareness that is aware of just the things going on. Awareness is not the same as mindfulness. We can be mindfully of walking, but we are not aware that we are walking. Because we can still think about, you know, oh, I'm walking nice, I'm walking straight, I'm walking crooked, you know. That's not the awareness I'm talking about. Awareness is a very objective thing. It doesn't judge. It doesn't judge this is good or this is bad or this is this or this is that. Awareness is just aware of the things going on. And that is the quality that we have to develop. It's a very important quality. It's one of the, I mean, When you look at the teachings of the Lord Buddha, it's one of the shortcuts. I mean, the person who has awareness all the time, I mean, within 7 days, you know, he can free himself. Huh? So Alice should develop it. Now you have ample of time. But how, you know, how often? It slips away. It always slips away. And it comes a thought, you know, and we get engrossed in the thought. Comes a memory, we get engrossed in the memory, then comes a feeling. Where does this feeling come from? We don't have to ask where this feeling is coming from. We don't ask the TV where the show is coming from. We know it's coming from in there. Somebody put it on. We have to understand how the things work. How the mechanism of our heart works. That's the thing that where we have to really be aware. So I mean, being aware of the thought. Each thought, okay, knowing there's a thought, yeah? Knowing there's a memory, knowing there's a feeling, knowing, you know, this feeling, you know, triggers that thought, or that thought triggers this feeling, you know, triggers this memory. Just know it. Don't try to understand. I mean, if you could understand all these things, I mean, we wouldn't need to sit, you know, and do... We just read a book, you know, where it says, you know, do this, you know. I mean, we could study it at university. No, the heart has to understand. And the heart has a very different mechanism than our brain. The heart needs to see it. See what it's doing. When I talk about the heart, I mean, just take the example, you know. I mean, you have constant pain. And then you look around, you know, and whatever appears there in front of you, yeah? I mean, that's the cause of my pain. This person I don't like, that, you know, that situation I don't like, that situation I don't like. When you're aware, you see these things, you're aware of the pain, and then you look around, and then you see one of the hand is in the fire. Oh, that's where the pain is coming from. So, I mean, you don't have to tell yourself to withdraw the hand. You automatically do. The moment you see your hand is in the fire, whoops, the hand goes back. And that is the heart. The moment the heart sees it does something wrong that causes its pain, it automatically releases, just like we would withdraw our hand from the pain. Understand that, at least. Huh? So that's why we should not try to understand what is going on. But we should look, you know. We should be aware of the things that are there. Always, you know. And not only one time. Sometimes we have to do it 100 times or 1,000 times. Always look, you know. Ah, there's the feeling, there's the memory, there's this feeling. And then The longer we observe the same situation over and over again, the more the heart understands. Ah, this is because this is this. But it doesn't make any interference? No, no, judgment and inference. Inference. But we are trained, you know, to study. We are trained to understand. And that's why our understanding gets in the way, here in this case. So, I mean, we observe, you know, we observe and observe again and observe again. And just, you know, open the heart. Heart, you see it? You understand it? No. Okay, look again. Look again. Look again. Until the heart tells, okay, I understood it. Very, very different. I mean, that is completely opposite to the way the world works. The heart does not do the things on the same level as our brain. Like we want to quit smoking, you know. I mean, it's easy to quit smoking. You just tell yourself. But 1 year later, I mean, you want to have a cigarette. So, the brain understood, you know, maybe smoking is not good for you. So it lets go. But the feeling, the greed is still in the heart. But when the heart lets go, there's no more greed. It's just not interested anymore. Whatever the heart understood, it's not interested anymore. It lets go of it. Yeah? You understand? And that's why we have to teach the heart, you know? Heart, you see it. Heart, you understand it. I mean, we really can talk to the heart, you know. That's our problem. Have you seen it? Yeah. Have you understood it? No. It instantly comes up. No, I haven't understood. Okay, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It's the same with the body contemplation. It's the same with everything. It's the way of the heart, you know. We have to open it. We have to observe it very closely. I mean, the longer we can observe it, the more the heart understands. It's like with a physicist who makes an experiment and he has to watch every second until he understands, you know, he shoots two particles and wants to see something, you know. I mean, he has to watch all the time. But, you know, 5 minutes later, you know, it's not yet happening. So he takes his coffee, you know, and drinks a coffee. And in that time, you know, it happened. So he has to do the whole experiment again until he can see every step of the experiment and then he will understand. And that is the same for the heart. It has to understand every step of the process and then, okay, and then it lets go on its own. Just like seeing the hand is in the fire, it lets go. We cannot make the heart let go. We can control ourselves and that is what human beings do. No, I'm not doing this. Huh? But the wish, you know, to do it is still there. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, you know. But the wish still comes up, you know. So, I mean, we have to teach the heart. So, see, yeah, see how it is, you know. Judge for yourself. And the moment the heart sees, you know, that's not good, we'll let go. And we are not interested in it. And that's the same with the body. So you have to do that over and over again. You have to investigate the body. You know, you have to understand what is body. Cut it open and see, you know, what is in there. What is in there? Flesh, meat, poos, blood, shit. Especially when we pick up that. But when we eat it, we don't think about what is in there. We only eat for the tongue. We don't eat for the stomach or what is good for the body. We eat what we like to taste. And that's everybody does it, you know. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's good for the body. I mean, people who eat too much sugar, you know, it's not good for the body. Or people who eat too much greasy stuff. So everybody has to look, you know, I mean, so okay, I ate this food, you know, being aware of what one is eating, you know. And then looking, you know, at the body, you know, okay, this seems to be okay. Oh, this kind of food is not okay. So I won't eat it from now on. Even if the whole world says, you know, this is healthy for you. We have to decide for ourselves what is good for us. Because everybody, every human being is different. It has a different kind of calming. I mean, for most of the people, you know, there's a, yeah, thumb, you know, this might work. Yeah? And it works for most of the people. But the more we go into practice, I mean, the more we have to realize on our own awareness, on our own knowing. Huh? And you know, I mean, when you feel, when you have stomach upset, or when you feel sick, you know, because you ate something, you know exactly what it was. But the next day you're still eating. Huh? Why? Because, you know, the heart has not understood it. Huh? The tongue still wants to. That's why we have to be aware. I mean, awareness is that is the key, is the light, you know, that sheds light in every part of our life. It shows us what actually is happening. And that's how we can cut down on these things. Things that make us, you know, I mean, of course, an upset stomach, you know, will produce not good feelings. So, I mean, we're getting moody, you know. And then somebody comes and wants something and we say, ah, what, you know, what the hell, you know, what are you doing here? You know, you're disturbing me. If we had good food, you know, that was pleasing our stomach, I would say, ah, what do you want, you know? All these things, you know. I mean, it makes our life so easier, so much smoother. You understand the principle. I mean, I don't say it's easy, you know. I mean, it's quite tough to do it. I mean, I did it myself, you know. That's why I know it all. I did certain things, you know. I mean, you know, they were really unhealthy, and I thought it was right, you know, to do it like this. Until I looked, you know, and then I saw, no, it's wrong, because it produces ill feelings. And I asked myself, do you want these ill feelings? No. So why do you still do it? And then I looked again and I looked again, you know, until the heart let go. And there was nothing more. So if you understand the importance, you know, of practicing and samadhi, you know, the way of concentrating on our Buddha, strengthen the sati. Strengthen this awareness. That's why we do it mostly. First of all, we want to know what's going on in our life. When I started up meditation, I said, what the hell is going on in this life? You know, who tells me to do this? Who tells me to do that? Who tells me to like this? Who tells me to like that? Or dislike this? I started, that's not me, you know. Somebody's telling me that I should do this, you know. Who is that? Who is that? We think it's us, and that's why we do it. But it's not us. That's a strange thing. There are two things in our heart. Yeah? There's the light, there's the Dhamma, and there's the Kilesas, the darkness. Yeah? And the darkness always tells us, or the Kilesas always tell us what to like, what to dislike, what to do and what not to do, you know. And now we're stopping this voice, you know, I'm putting it aside a little bit, and then after a while we see, yes, it's not me, because I observe this thought coming up, I should do this, or I observe that feeling, you know, I observe this, or I observe that. And the observer and the thing observed is not the same thing, you know that, oh? You know that? You see the book? Doesn't matter, you know, you see a book? Are you the book? No. You see a thought? Are you the thought? Same thing. But we think, because it's close to us, it's in our mind, you know, it's in front of our eyes. That's why we think we are that. And it's one of the most helpful concepts. Anatta. Anicca, anatta, dukkha. Anicca is the impermanence, that everything arises and ceases. Dukkha, I've talked yesterday about it. And anatta, that's not me, that doesn't belong to me, that's not myself. Whatever I can observe is not me. Because who is then the observer? Huh? Who is that one who knows? Huh? If there is a real identity, then this, the one who knows, is us. Huh? And he knows, he never commands us around. He just knows. Ah, a thought comes in. A thought comes in, I should do this. So he knows that. Huh? That's okay. Huh? Or I should like this, you know. Or I'm too sick to practice. Huh? It's just a thought. It's not us. It doesn't belong to us. But because it's so close, we think it's us. And that's where we got entangled. And that's where we have to take the distance. That's not me. That doesn't belong to me. That's not myself. That's what the Buddha, Lord Buddha teaches. All these things, you know, feelings are not me. They change, you know. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're unhappy. So, are you happy or unhappy? It depends on the day, it depends on the mood, it depends on this and it depends on that, you know, if you're unhappy or happy. So, I mean, we always have some sort of notion that we are a fixed identity. But when we look at our life, that everything what we look at has been changing. Our body has been changing. Our thoughts have been changing. Our ideas have been changing. So what is that what is you? What is that what is constant? The only thing that is constant is that, is the one who knows. That is constant. That never changes. He knows. Now I think like this. 10 years ago, I thought like this. Huh? But only this one is not changing. And that's why samadhi leads us to our real identity. And that's why it's so important. That's why we should do it. Everything else, you know, when we go out in the world, when we live with the world and do as the world, I mean, it leads us away from this identity, you know. We always look out there, you know. We see a house, we see people, we see streets, we see, you know, this and we see that. It always looks out. But meditation is always looking back, looking inside. To find ourselves, to find our true identity. So use the principle of anatta. That's not me. That's just an idea. Or just there is an idea. There's a feeling. There's a thought. There's a memory. And instantly you can observe it. But when you think, I'm this memory, or I think, I mean, you're muddled up. Your hands are cuffed. Huh? You cannot do anything. But when you say, there's a thought, there is sickness, Alice. Huh? You're not the sickness. Huh? Actually, the body is sick. You know, why do you put on that sickness, you know, onto you? Why do you weigh yourself down so much because of the sickness? The citta cannot get sick. It's only these things that can get sick or can get out of place. I mean, that is one of the real helpful things. The principle of anatta. So remember it and use it, you know. Sometimes, especially when you're stuck, you know, when you get angry, you know, that anger is not yours. There's anger. And then see how the anger burns your heart. And then ask, why do I do that to myself? Or does feel angry very good? See, but you know, we think, we rationalize this anger is, you know, it's, we rectify it, you know. Okay, you know, I have to be angry because this and this and this is happening. And then we already muddled up. But if we say, there's anger, and then look at our own heart, and see the heart, the burning of our own heart, and then ask ourselves, why am I doing this, you know? And then instantly the anger is gone. The same with greed, you know, I want so much, so what? Don't look for that outside, you know, go inside and look at the heart. It burns the same way. If you want so much, you know, if you're looking forward so much, you know, if you have expectation, then we get disappointed, you know, and all these things. Huh? Why cause ourselves so much suffering? We are the only reason for our dukkha. for our pain, for our suffering. Because we want to have these things otherwise. They should be like this, they should be like this, they should be like that. They shouldn't be like this. And that's why. Look at it, you know, look inside you and you will see your heart suffering. And then you will let go of it, you know. I mean, who burns himself, you know? Not willingly, you know, but unwillingly, not knowing. And not knowing is this darkness, you know? This darkness that rules us. Not knowing, avijja, is that darkness that rules us. So that's why, you know, awareness is that thing that dispels the darkness. Just like you have a flashlight and you put it out in the dark and suddenly you see. Huh? That is the awareness, where we can see. And that's why it's so important to develop. Okay? So, I mean, now you can ask questions if you have.
I understand Ajahn teaching on the citta, the thoughts, all these things. But basically, I think perhaps maybe I myself, I'm being very lazy.
Uh-huh.
Because like so stressful to think and mm-hmm. search, investigate. So maybe being lazy, I just let it drift along,
No, you should not let it drift. I mean, if you're too lazy to think, if you're too lazy to investigate, then just develop sati. So just pull the mind back to the Buddha, you know, just being clearer, the clearer. I mean, being lazy, you know, I mean, that means the kilesas suck up all the energy. That's why you don't want to do anything. So, I mean, you have to put them back on the Buddha. You don't have to think about this or think about that in the beginning. Just get the energy. So just concentrate on the Buddha and concentrate on the Buddha. I mean, drifting away is that what normally all the people do. Not just drift in that daydream. So I mean, just put it back to the Buddha. I mean, if you can't do it anymore, then do one more. And then do one more. You know? I mean, do it as much as you can. It will profit. But drifting, you know, thoughts drifting, I mean, that's not practice. And the more, you know, concentrate on the same thing, the more energy you will have. You feel more energetic, you know. I mean, the moment the mind is centered on one object, I mean, it feels so powerful. You can do anything. But if the mind goes in all directions, you know, just drifts along, you know, I mean, you have no energy, you don't feel having any energy, and you don't want to do anything. And that's why you have to pull, you know, I mean, you have to pull the water that flows out, or the energy that flows out in all directions. You have to pull them, or, you know, stop the holes where it flows out. And it normally flows out, mostly it flows out with feelings, it flows out with thoughts and memories. So that's why we stop them. The moment thoughts and memories are stopped, we feel, oh. I mean, in the beginning you might sit like that, you know, but you know, and then, you know, suddenly, you know, when the mind is centered, you know, oops, oh. Wow. Really energetic.
Maybe I have to experience this.
Yes. Of course. I mean, that is one of the important things. Practice is all about experience, huh? We have to experience the calmness of heart. We have to experience the happiness of the heart. I mean, at the moment we only know the words, or you know, somebody tells us if you do this, you know, then you will get this. Huh? But the moment the moment our faith grows is the moment we experience it. Oh, wow, yeah, he's right. The moment I really focus on the Buddha, you know, the mind becomes calm and I will become happier and I will feel more energetic. The more I let drift my mind, you know, that's all also experience. The more I let drift my mind, the less I have energy. Huh? Yeah, I mean, that is one thing, because as I said in the beginning, when the mind gets calm, it tries to fall asleep. And that's where you have to catch it. And say, no, no, I don't want to fall asleep. Before, you know, I mean, the thought comes up, you know, now I can go to sleep.
But if I feel like, you know, I'm going into it.
Yeah.
When you meditate, you can feel that you're going into sleep.
Yeah. And that's where you have to say, no, I don't want to go into sleep.
Yeah, and then you will be alert.
Yeah, that's right. Try it out. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, if you see your kid walking, you know, along the road, you know, and you see it want to cross the road, you say, no, don't do it. Yeah. When you see your mind, you know, falling asleep, don't do it.
Oops.
Yeah, yes. You feel really afresh. No, you can't go back again, and you don't want to. Because then, you know, I mean, if you make the decision, then the mind is really alert or really aware, and then it shows that. Because it's a natural state of the mind to be alert and aware.
And you have to walk and then come back again, or you still force yourself to do that?
Yeah, yes. No, you don't even have to force it. I mean, once you decide it, you know, then suddenly the mind becomes so sharp and it just wants to do this one thing.
This,
the
day Professor Ken was saying that he meditates quite easily.
Yeah.
Getting into samadhi, even while waiting for a bus or this thing.
Yeah.
So if, say, I'm waiting for the, I'm going on the destination.
Yeah.
If I meditate.
Yeah.
I go into samadhi.
Yeah.
Will I miss my station?
No.
Huh?
No.
You automatically you get up.
don't worry about these things, you know. And even if you know you miss it because you fell asleep, then it doesn't matter. You know, just take the next one. I mean, these things. I mean, there's nothing to miss out in the world. I mean, there's always the next bus, you know. There's always the next year, or there's next month, or there's the next day, you know. I mean, you don't miss out on it.
There's a next life.
Yeah. You have to be aware, careful about that. No, but normally not. I mean, I was doing, you know, I was driving in a big city, Hamburg. And when I was at the stoplight, I closed my eyes. I said, let's see, you know, if I know when it's green. And I always knew. I didn't have to open my eyes for knowing that it's green. I mean, just, you know, I mean, you just feel it, you know, with all the other people. Boop, suddenly they go moving, and, you know, it's time. That's awareness. I mean, mindfulness doesn't get, you know, mindfulness, I mean, you miss the bus. No, awareness knows, huh? I mean, the sharper the awareness is, the more it knows. I mean, you don't even have to. I mean, you can go through a crowd, you know, just looking down. But you will not hit anybody because you know already, you know, how it flows, you know, and you just go through. It's amazing, you know. This pure awareness is really amazing. I mean, you feel so, first of all, you feel refreshed. I mean, if you drive like that, you feel refreshed, you know. If you go in a bus like that, you feel refreshed if you wait for the bus. I mean, it's so new, it's so fresh, everything is new. And you won't feel exhausted. Huh? But when you think, what do I have to do when I come home, you know? Forget it. You come home and you're completely tired. You don't want to do anything. Because you thought about it all the time, you know, and instead of refreshing yourself. All these things, waiting for the bus, yes. I tried it all out. It works perfectly fine. You don't have to look, you know. I mean, it's a
set time.
Yeah. Okay, more questions.
Seems to have blockage here.
I breathe
in, out, you don't see. It seems to have blockage here.
What kind of blockage?
As I watch the breathing, towards after some time, it's like it's so concentrated here that like the muscle pulls.
Don't pay attention to it. That's what I said before, you know. Don't pay attention to these things. Huh? They just, you know, make you believe that there is a blockage. Or just like when you investigate, they make you believe that there is a pain. But when you go into the pain, you know, suddenly the pain in here, you know, jumps over there. And then there's no pain. And then you ask yourself, how can that jump, you know? If there would be really pain, you know, that should be here. Huh? So the pain is made by the kilesas. All these phenomena are made by the kilesas. So that's why we should only concentrate, you know, concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath. Right? Whatever, you know, whatever you experience, just forget it. I know it's difficult.
Didn't feel that, like, after some time, after watching prayer and Buddha, after some time, like, breathing was a bit difficult, you know?
Yeah, it can, you know, I mean, it can be, but, you know, it's not you. It's not the breathing that is difficult, but the kilesas who make it difficult. I mean, so just, you know, I mean, you can also jump on, just on Buddha, you know, and forget about breathing. The breathing, you know, is automatic. The body knows how to breathe, you know, we don't have to teach it that. But things, you know, I mean, look at it, you know, I mean, if you're more aware, then you feel, you know, actually, it's, what comes before is fear. The kilesas are afraid that you get too quiet and they get, you know, chucked out. Yeah. So they produce some fear, and that's why suddenly, you know, I mean, you can also look at the heart, you know, when the heart stops, you know, I mean, then you know, there's some fear when the heart contracts. Huh? When the heart is open, you know, there's no fear and the breathing is normal. You know? Look at the physical heart also, you know. I mean, when there's anger, you know, how does it feel? You know, it's always very tight, you know. And in this situation, it's probably also very tight. So this tight heart means, you know, always it's either there's some greed, there's some hate, or there's some fear. That's where the heart really gets really tough, you know, really hard. And then, of course, you can't breathe. People can't breathe when they're afraid. It's the same thing. It's all the same mechanism. I mean, we are here, you know. I mean, we are here to study not the medicine that is taught in the West, but the inner way, you know, of understanding our body, how our body works, you know, how our mind is working, how mind and body interacts. That's for us to study. But we cannot find it in textbooks. We can only find it, you know, through observing. Okay? So don't worry, you know. If it persists, you know, look at your heart, you know, or look at the thought that came before that. You were afraid that you can't breathe, you know, or you die. Huh? And that fear always stops you. Huh? One day I will die, no matter what. You know? If I die, you know, with Buddha in my head, you know, that is the perfect death. If I die with fear, oh, it's terrible. If I die with generosity in my heart, you know, that's also perfect. Yeah? Loving people, you know, or having compassion for people. I mean, how can you die more peacefully? You can see it in the faces of the people who are dead, you know. If you look at the, you know, I mean, you sometimes get some corpses, you know, how the people die, you will see it on their faces, huh? If they have not been made up yet. You see their last expression, their feelings on their faces when they die. I saw one of the corpses, you know, I mean, it was a few years ago. I mean, we had to cremate it, you know, and I looked in the sarcophagus and her tongue was sticking out, you know, and she bit her tongue, you know. She didn't want to let go of the life. So she was born as a prey, as a hungry ghost. You see it. You see it in the eyes, you know, the eyes popping out, you know, tongue coming out, you know. These things, you know, are extremely greedy people. But they're all stingy. They're all stingy. The whole family. She came by, you know. I mean, the moment she died, she came by, you know, and told me, you know, to tell. She had a son and a father and a husband, you know, to tell them, you know, to be generous, huh? to make some merit for her.
Oh, she came in as a preta,
as no, at that time she was not a preta. Huh? She was just a consciousness.
Sorry?
Consciousness.
Consciousness. Oh, she
hasn't become a preta. No, I mean, they don't. I mean, you don't transform instantly, you know. You know, there's a time of transition. Huh?
There's a time of transition.
Yeah.
They say 49 days, or something like that.
I mean, I don't know. I've never asked, you know, how long it is, you know. For some people it's longer, for some people it's shorter, for some people they don't even have a transition because they're dragged down to hell instantly. They don't have a choice. No. But for people who, you know, have a little bit of choice, who are a little bit more aware. So I told, you know, husband and son, you know, to be generous. Huh? So did you. I felt sorry for the whole family. Huh? They've never gone, you know, never put anything in the vaults of the monks, you know, and never gone to the monastery, you know. I mean, what can they expect? Huh? Hungry ghosts, you know, if they did something, you know, to be born in hell. They have nothing to live on, nothing to feed on. It's just like, you know, you have nothing to eat, you know. No bread, no rice, nothing, you know. You look in your fridge, you know, it's empty. Because you have never put anything in there. And only generosity, you know, giving, you know, put something into the fridge. But people don't like that, you know, giving. They want to have, you know. Oh, they take. And when the end of their life is, you know, they open the fridge, nothing is there. please. And then they come, you know. They come to see, you know, and the monks, you know, please, you know. Of course, you know, we give them as much, you know, but, you know, they don't have the merit to take it. Okay? Yeah?
I don't have one question.
What?
Arahant Shita. Arahant. Before Arahant is Allah.
Anagami.
Anagami. If once a person is in Anagami,
yeah.
Will they go up to Arahant?
Yes. Automatically.
Automatically?
Yeah. They don't have to do anything, they can lie back, you know.
They just need to practice?
They just practice automatically.
Oh,
I mean, it has been.
They walk automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
After a while, they will go to Arahant.
A long while.
Yeah.
I mean, it can take up to 50,000 years.
Oh,
okay. But they never come back. They will never be reborn as humans, as Deva, not even in the Deva realm, not in other any kind of realm. There are five realms, you know, just for them.
Mm.
They develop. Very peaceful realms.
Mm.
Very peaceful. Beautiful. But a sotapanna, somebody who enters the stream, enters Sakadagami, once return, they will come back, the once returner will come back one more time, and the sotapanna can come back seven more times. So. But he will never go to hell anymore. So I mean, if you have a, you know, if you have an aim, you know, if you want to, if you decide, you know, to make your way out, then you know, at least go for that. Yeah. So that you don't have to worry. Even if there are seven more lives, you don't have to worry. You will go. The heart is so convinced, you know, it will never forget it. But, you know, if you haven't reached that point, you know, I mean, we still are in the treadmill. That's why a stream entry is the first moment of when people decide to go out. And they will never go back. They can't even go back. Yeah. I mean, the way out is the way out, you know. It's one-way street, you know. You can't go back. Okay? So practice today a little bit more, huh? My cancer sticks.
your cancer stick.
You know what they say? A layperson asked a monk, you know, is it not bad karma, you know, to give you cigarettes because you die early? I am not going to die early. I'm going earlier to heaven, so it's much better.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like this one. No, anyway, like I said yesterday, I mean, we will die anyway. You know, I mean, the time was already set. But of course, you know, with good nutrition, you know, and healthy kind of life, doing sports and so on, I mean, we can prolong it a little bit, you know, a few years longer off, you know, if you're not, you know, a few years shorter. But the time frame is already there. But it depends, you know, if you don't take care of the body in this life, I mean, in the next life you have problems with your body. Sure. That's a side effect, but for this life it doesn't. I mean, everything, most of the things that we do is for the next life, actually. Just like, you know, the farmer plants the rice, you know, for the next season. I mean, when he plants, he cannot eat it yet. I mean, he has to wait for the next season. So it's the same with our life, and that's why it's so difficult to understand, because we don't see the previous life, and we can't grasp the next life. So whatever we do, most of it is for the next life. So when we are generous, it will, you know, will bear fruit in the next life. But also, you know, taking care after the body well, I mean, there will, you know, next life. But it also affects this life. But, you know, the real fruits come only next. Okay? So practice as much as you can and don't fall asleep.